Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the North and South of Things. I'm Mark, up here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it's a beautiful morning. Good morning, George. How are you?
Good morning. It's also beautiful and chilly here in Atlanta.
Well, actually, it's going to be in the mid-80s up here today, so maybe we swap somehow.
The hell happened there?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, it's our Pride weekend, so no Pride weekend goes unpunished.
This is true. And what we're going to be talking about today is something in the gay community that, I don't know, sometimes is viewed as a dirty little secret or something that's really not talked about. And that's the idea of kind of non-traditional open relationships and non-monogamy.
And is that, and I'm confused by some of the terminology in this, when you hear the word polyamory, is that a subset of open relationships, or is that a broader term that's used?
Well, it really depends on the people involved. Okay, now, as gay people, I've often been on the outside of conventional sort of relationships. And as we've kind of evolved as a community, we've made certain decisions of how we want to run and our own personal relationships. You know, many of us sort of mirror the relationships that are in the heteronormative community, which is, you know, monogamy. You know, it's, you know, two people fall in love, they commit to each other and each other only. Now, the idea of having an open relationship, at least for me, you have to kind of define some of the parameters around mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. For me, when I hear the idea of open relationship, that for me kind of signals a definition that two people have an open relationship in regards to sexual activity and sexual behavior. And there are many different ways to do that. They could do it together. They could do it separate. There could be a lot of rules that are around that kind of behavior. But when I hear open relationship, that signifies the behavior of sexuality mm-hmm. and sex. Mm-hmm. Now, when you define the term polyamory, which is the state or practice of having more than one open romantic relationship at a time, that's one way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. But those people who practice polyamory, it's a committed relationship between more than two people.
So that's really a different definition than what some would consider an open relationship, whereby the partners have friends with benefits, so to speak.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And so there's an article we'll list in the show notes. And you know, and it has to do with 24 questions about gay polyamorous relationships. And first and foremost, men, what is polyamory is one of the questions that is asked. And I think it's pretty succinct. It says polyamory, in my view, is a committed relationship among multiple consenting adults. After that, there's a great deal of flexibility in how polyamory can be defined independent of the sexual component, which many people seem to get too hung up on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big thing to get hung up on, though, you have to admit.
Well, you know, we are sexual beings, and, you know, for some of us, sex is a big deal, and for some of us, sex isn't a big deal. And there's kind of a spectrum on how that falls. But full disclosure, I have been involved with a polyamorous relationship. Okay. This was a bisexual man, and he liked to date and be involved with both men and women. And we were involved in a relationship, and he was also involved with a woman, and she and I got to be friends and are still great friends to this day. So it's not so much about sex.
I'm a child. I'm just sitting here giggling at that. I'm just like, whoa, that's gross. My God. I'm clearly
and,
a child.
You know, it was something that everyone talked about. And I think that's the key with any other sort of non-traditional relationship model. Is it's got to be based on open and honest communication.
Yeah, and I have to say, I have for quite a while. I don't know why I'm... Whoa! I hate auto-starting videos on web pages. For the longest time, I've been just totally infatuated by and interested in and curious about these relationships. And have for as long as there have been chat rooms, you know, online, I've always inquired and asked questions. And that's the number one rule I've gotten from nearly everyone I've ever talked to, is that there has to be rules. There has to be a game plan on what is and is not. There's another article we'll put on the show notes at northandsouthofthings.com. It's from The Advocate. And at the bottom of the article, it's... things to do, things to talk about before you consider an open relationship. And the number one rule is talking. You have to talk. And mm-hmm. it actually gives what I think is a great checklist about, you know, who, you know, can, who will you be open with? What are you going to do? When are you going to do it? Where are you going to do it? And it, like, it's a great list of things that, like, I think mm-hmm. if you had those things nailed down, you probably are going to have some success. I have to say, I go back to some of my early days. I'm conflicted by this, I'll be honest with you, because I don't think in the most ideal situation, I don't think that non-monogamy is the most ideal situation. But the two relationships I've been in my life, both times I felt immediately trapped. and at least one of those times I did have a dalliance outside of the relationship that was not approved, you know, I mean, that we didn't have an open relationship. And so for me, you know, my opinion has evolved. I generally have felt that it's not an optimal situation to be involved with, because feelings are going to get hurt. In my experience, one person is generally more interested in the nature of the open relationship than is the other. But over time, I've come to learn it's really prominent in the gay community. And I can't speak for the hetero community, but it's not mm-hmm. as big a deal as I've sort of felt that it was. Now, I know some of our listeners will feel strongly both ways. But for me, I'm still kind of middle of the road, you know. And not in a relationship right now, but I have, like you, experimented with somebody who was in a relationship. It's been quite a while since any of that happened. We still know each other, and probably still flirt with each other a little bit, but no physical activity has happened in almost a decade. So yeah, it's easy to see that I'm still conflicted by this.
Well, I think what you really need to do as a, you know, as a human being, I think self-awareness is a really good thing to have. And what you need to do is you need to decide, are you the type of person that is, are you monogamous or not? If you're not monogamous, or you consider polyamory to be a tenant of the way you want to run your relationships, then you need to disclose that right off the bat.
Right.
whenever you're getting involved with someone, you need to have that conversation. Is this relationship going to be monogamous or is it not? And if the persons involved in that relationship decide that they are going to be monogamous, then, you know, that's the parameters. That's the way you need to run your relationship, and you need to honor that commitment and that contract with this other person. But if you are not going to be monogamous, then you need to figure out all of those who's, where's, for's, right, what, and all of that. And it's been my experience that those people who are in a committed monogamous relationship and then decide to open the relationship, you're right. There is a big propensity for people's feelings to get hurt, and you are going to make mistakes. Non-monogamous relationships, I think, in my opinion, they're like a...
sorry, you will bring out. You Skyped out on me just a little bit. They're like what?
Okay, they're like a pressure cooker.
Gotcha.
What is going to happen? It's going to bring out any sort of problems that are in the relationship, and they're going to be very intensely. Basically, you're going to be able to know what stuff you need to work on.
So that's a hint, right? That's a hint right there. That they're a pressure cooker. And they're actually going to bring to boil issues you already have. So
right, exactly.
It's not that the nature of the open relationship created a problem. It just highlighted the problem of trust or whatever you had with the other person.
Exactly. It's going to intensify those. And it can be very rewarding as well, because you can work on those issues and strengthen your relationship with those people that you're involved in. And it does have that ability to really strengthen and to bring out a relationship that's very fulfilling, and there's a great deal of contentment. But it also can really go off the rails. And I lived in the past with a married couple who had decided that they wanted to open up their relationship, but there were relationship issues that they had. And in the process of doing this, the whole marriage just kind of blew up and they ended up parting and going their separate ways. So you really need to approach this with respect and caution, in that if you're not going to be willing to do the work, the idea that somebody is going to get hurt is probably, you know, guaranteed.
So I think, you know, a while ago I said it feels like more often than not feelings get hurt. But I should also say that I know a fair number of couples who have some element of an openness in their relationship, who've all been together more than a decade. So I've seen examples where it works fine, you know. And so when I say I'm conflicted, it's not a judgment. It's not that I'm conflicted that I think people who are in these relationships are bad. It's just for me, I'm conflicted as to whether or not I could handle that.
Right. And that's the key, is that self-awareness is, can I do this or not?
Yeah. I don't want any of this to come across as being judgmental.
Yeah, exactly.
On my side, yeah.
We all decide of how we want to, you know, interact with the world. And I think that open and honest communication, you know, if you're involved with somebody who wants to open the relationship and not keen on it, you need to tell that other person that you're not keen on it. Because like you said earlier, there is, you know, there have been instances where one person is more interested in having it open and the other one is not. And that really kind of lays the groundwork for some bad stuff to happen.
Yeah. Did you, when you had the experience with the gentleman who was also interested, the bisexual, did you all have the rules conversation up front, or was there some sense of that?
There wasn't really any really hard and fast rules. I mean, though, that relationship was based on kind of mutual trust, in that we all cared about each other. We were all friends, and we wanted to maintain that. So, yeah, we had some conversations about, okay, well, who gets to sleep with Rob tonight, you know? You know, for me, it was like, okay, well, you want, and this wasn't about sex. This was about physically sleeping with a bed partner.
Right.
And to me, that wasn't very important to me, but it was more important to the woman that was involved. And so I would acquiesce. I said, you know, I mean, you enjoy this. It's not a big deal to me. Go ahead.
Right.
You know, I mean, there were things like that, but you know, that relationship was based on friendship. So, we really didn't have a lot of, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that's really not respectful of the other person being able to express themselves within that relationship, either sexually or emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another key. With polyamory, there's an emotional connection that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes in an open sexual relationship, you know, it's anonymous and it's no repeats and it's just wham, bam, thank you, man. Let's go on to the next one.
Was that couple married?
No. Okay. No, they were not.
Okay. Because that's almost a... That almost feels like a different situation as you were describing it. Nobody has a deeper connection to the other than any of the other, as opposed to a relationship that then becomes open and welpens in another another person. You know, I think you also touched on the word emotional. And, you know, I had long been of the opinion that some of those hard and fast rules were, you know, this needs to be a situation where you're not ever repeating with this person. So you, there's no opportunity to create an emotional attachment. But it seems like now that's not, you know, first of all, that's not polyamory, because in many instances that does include sort of an emotional relationship. It's not just physical.
Correct.
That part, I feel pretty certain I don't think I could handle. Because I think for me, the emotional part in a relationship is strong, very strong. So that's, and to me, that's curious. I've seen an example of what I think that looks like happening now with some friends, and that's really interesting to watch. And I'm like, yeah, no, I am not adult enough to handle that.
Well, and that's a good thing to be aware of. So, you know, if and when you come into a situation like that, you can, you know, voice that and say, you know, this is not for me.
Do you,
or this is for me, and what works for me is this, what doesn't work for me is that.
Do you buy, I've heard some, I'm not going to be able to quote this exactly, but basically, there is no species on the planet that is monogamous. Why should man be monogamous? Have you heard that sort of used as a defense before?
Oh yes, absolutely. And there's a book out there. It's called, I think the title of it is The Ethical Slut.
The Ethical
Slut. And it kind of goes into this idea of, you know, nature and nurture and, you know, the animals. And, you know, to be frank, you know, we are animals. There's no doubt about it that we have certain animalistic drives. But we're also sentient. We also have the ability to decide, you know,
right,
how we want to do this. And society over time has kind of made up these models of one person for life. And, you know, I'm not so sure that I believe that. And to look at the animal world and nature and see that, yeah, non-monogamy is pretty much the state of things. That doesn't necessarily mean that that is ideal either. I think it really comes down to individual people.
Do you feel the same way about this in the hetero environment?
Well, you know, I mean, when you look at heterosexual models of relationships, you see one man, one woman, Mary Days start to raise a family, and then George Jr. grows up. He goes off to college. He gets involved with Nancy, and they get married and start to have a family. But then George Jr. goes to the business conference, and lo and behold, gets involved with Helen, his secretary. And there is an infidelity. I think our sexual nature gives us certain drives, and we as people get to decide whether we're going to satisfy those drives or not, and with who. And, you know, there's a lot of instances of infidelity in the heterosexual community. And I mean, if you take France, for example, the idea of having a mistress is almost kind of, you know, de rigueur, you know?
The national pastime.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this idea of, you know, paying homage that you have this model and that you're going to wink, wink, you know, be involved with it outside with somebody else. I think, you know, just being honest that, you know, we are going to be sexually attracted to multiple people, regardless of whether we're in a relationship or not. But I think it's key for those two people who are involved in a relationship, be open and honest and talk about it. If, you know, people can decide, you know, we're going to be monogamous and that's how we're going to run our relationship, and then there's no problem.
It's interesting. I think possibly the question I was getting at was, it seems, and I understand the whole concept and existence of swingers and whatnot, but it mm-hmm. seems that the accepted norm paradigm, the understood paradigm, is a monogamous relationship. That appears not to be becoming the prescribed norm in the gay community. I could see where people would assume that that's not the norm. Now, I personally think anybody in a who starts a relationship with somebody, like as you said, that should be discussed right up front if that's not your intention. But if it's not discussed, mm-hmm. my assumption would be it was the intention to be monogamous.
Right. And I think in the gay community, we ask ourselves the question, you know, are we going to run the relationship with this model or not? I think a lot of heterosexual couples don't even get to the question.
Right.
They just assume that this other person is interested in monogamy and that's the way it's going to be. And yes, there can be infidelity outside of that, and how they choose to deal or not deal with that is up to them. But I really don't think they ever come to the question. Mm-hmm. And in the gay community, since we question pretty much everything and we have the ability to make our decisions of how we want to be in the world and in the world of our relationships and friendships, you know, we ask the question, we question everything.
Right. Right. Interesting. Wow. I hope we get some listener feedback on this, because I'd be very curious to see and hear what people think about this topic and their own experiences with it. I had dinner last night with a college friend that I have not seen in a decade or more. who this topic came up, and from he brought the topic up, and it was relevant. It was related to him being the third person. Mm-hmm. He's been approached by a number of couples, and you know, for him, it's a whole another set of questions. And is this fair? Mm-hmm. Is this fair to me? Is this what I want? You know, is this my only option? You know,
yeah.
Which I think is a fair question when you think about the, you know, I wouldn't attempt to assess a number, a percentage of committed couples that have some sense of openness, but my guess is it's not less than 50%.
Yeah, and that's kind of why we should be talking about this. Like I said at the beginning of the show, sometimes this is the dirty little secret that you find out about.
Right.
And then you become titillated and interested, and you start asking questions. And I think there's a lot of curiosity around open relationships and polyamory. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, being open and honest and talking about it with other people that kind of lays the groundwork of, you know, I think the goal for anyone is to have a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And in many instances, opening a relationship that isn't healthy to begin with is just a recipe for disaster.
I agree. And I apologize if you can hear helicopters in the background. It's Pride weekend here, and the parade's about to step off in an hour or so, and there are police helicopters flying around. It got me slightly alarmed. I've seen one too many danger movies where hellfire missiles come out of those things right at me, and it's only about 20 yards from me. Anyway, yeah, that's great. I think interesting topic, one that always makes me nervous while I'm intrigued by it and have been for decades. It's still, you know, it's still a little raw for me. I don't know why. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. So hey, we got a couple notes. I mean, a couple of contacts from listeners. We got an iTunes review by, I think it's Ed from the Mark and Ed Show. It's not his handle. I think it's his iTunes username. But he'd mentioned that he had made a review. So we got a 5-star review.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Thank it's you for that 5-star review.
Woohoo. So right now we're a perfect broadcast. we'll just leave that there. And we also got a shout out on Pod is My Co-Pilot from Taylor the Latte Boy. He was talking about, I sent in a question to their show. They were asking listeners for questions, and he mentioned that he listens to our show. So we appreciate that.
And Taylor, I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I think I'm probably the one who caused that issue from a few episodes ago.
Well, you know, there's a great rivalry between Minneapolis and St. Paul, as we've talked about.
How dare you, sir, call him? Yeah, that's hilarious. Well, Mark, we are out of time. Final words from you on our topic today.
You know, think about it and ask yourself questions, and by all means, communicate faster.
All right, kids, words of wisdom, sage advice. Until next week, Mark, have a good one.
You too. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaffingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.